Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Jeremiah. We'll be reading from the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 11. And it is found on page 666 of your Bibles, your pew Bibles. So Jeremiah 18, 1 through 11, let us listen to God's word for us. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, says the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will repent of the good which I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your doing. Our gospel lesson this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. Again, we'll be reading from the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 25 and reading through verse 33. It is found on page 908 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I was talking to some of the children last week about baptism, about the importance of their baptism and what their baptism means to them. And I was reminded that in the early church, baptism was a really big deal. You had to wait at least 3 years before you were able to become a candidate for baptism, had to wait 3 years before you could take communion. But you had to spend a considerable amount of time training and learning what it meant to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptismal service in the Presbyterian Book of Common Worship has a section in it called Renunciations. And the candidate who comes forward for baptism stands before the congregation, and the minister asks them, "Do you renounce all evil and powers in the world that separate you from the love and righteousness of God?" And the candidate is supposed to reply, "Yes, I renounce them." "Do you renounce the ways of sin that separate you from the love of God?" And again, the candidate says, "Yes, I renounce them." And the whole idea is to get the candidate to think deeply about what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be a follower, because there is a cost. There's a cost to be a follower of Jesus. I often wish that the questions in that baptismal service would be just a little bit more sharpened, a little bit more pointed. What if the questions that were put to candidates said something like this: "Will you be willing to renounce family and friends and all the people who have been close and dear to you for the sake of the kingdom of God? Will you be willing to renounce all of the prized possessions that you've spent a lifetime accumulating? Will you be willing to renounce your very life if need be?" I suspect that those questions might give us a little bit more pause, cause us to think just a little bit more about what it is that we sign up for when we become a disciple, when we become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because those are the very things that Jesus says we ought to consider before we think about becoming one of his followers, one of his disciples. You heard him. "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple." One of the hard sayings of Jesus. One of the problems with reading the gospel narratives is that if you hang around Jesus for any length of time, he starts sounding more and more radical, more and more at odds with our conventional modes of thinking and doing. You discover that he's not the nice, sweet, red, white, and blue family values kind of Jesus that he sometimes made out to be. Instead, he is the Jesus who challenges us at every level. And he challenges us with a simple invitation. But it's the most important invitation you'll ever receive. And the invitation is simply this: follow me. I want you to follow me. Follow me as I lead you into the kingdom of God. Follow me as I show you the way to eternal life. Follow me. I want you to follow me. That's what Jesus wants more than anything else. He wants us to follow him, to be one of his disciples. But Jesus also wants us to understand that following him is not necessarily easy. He wants us to understand that there is a cost. Following him will cost us perhaps everything. It will cost you your friends. It can cost you your family. It can cost you your stuff. It can even cost you your life. And so Jesus says, I want you to consider the cost. Unless you are willing to renounce all of that, you can't really be my disciple. So consider what it is that you're getting into before you decide to be my disciple. I, for one, appreciate Jesus being so upfront with us this morning. I appreciate him taking the time to tell us that being a disciple, being one of his followers, is costly. Because we're not always so upfront with people. I remember when I was 17, I walked into the Army recruiter's office next to not far from my high school. And I remember walking in, and the people there were so nice to me. When I walked in, there was a sergeant there standing at a desk, and he got up and he came over and he welcomed me. He said, "How are you doing? We're glad that you're here. Just want you to know that I'm just thrilled you're here. Let me show you what all the wonderful things we can do for you. You know, what is it you want to do? We've got all kinds of wonderful things you can do. We can send you to exotic places. You can do wonderful things. You can do things like ride in tanks and rappel. You can go to wonderful places. We've got lots of wonderful things you can do. We're glad you're here. You say you wanted to go to school. We can even help you with that. We can help you with all of that." Wonderful. But he didn't take the time to tell me the cost. He didn't tell me that there is a cost. Said nothing about getting up at 5:00 in the morning. Said nothing about having to sleep outside in the cold at night. Said nothing about the fact that I'd be separated from my family for 3 years. Said nothing even about the fact that being a soldier could cost you your life. But this morning Jesus says, "I want you to understand that if you're going to be one of my followers, there's a cost. Consider the cost." I imagine that when Jesus told him that, the people, the crowds that had been following him around probably began to back up a little bit. They'd been following Jesus wherever he went. They'd heard all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing, how the blind can see, how the lame can walk, how the poor had good news being proclaimed to them, and they wanted to be a part of that. They were enthusiastic. They were following him. And Jesus, when he tells them that, I imagine they begin to back up and say to themselves, "Whoa, no one told us anything about that. No one told us that being a follower of you would be costly." And yet that's what Jesus tells them. "I want you to consider the cost." I should clarify a couple of things here, of course, because Jesus says, uses some strong language in this passage. One of the things he says, one of the words he uses is the word hate. We might be a little bit disturbed by that language, not because we have anything against hating. Sometimes hating is easy for us to do. But we are a bit surprised to hear Jesus talk about hating someone. Jesus is usually talking about loving those who are close to you, loving your neighbor, loving your family, loving even your enemies. So it's a bit unusual to hear Jesus talking about hatred. But when Jesus talks about hating here, he doesn't mean what we often mean when we talk about hatred. He doesn't mean a visceral dislike for something or someone. Rather, he's talking about making a choice. Hatred here is about turning from one thing in order to embrace another. It's about prioritizing and about allegiance. What are you going to give your ultimate allegiance to? What's going to take priority over everything in your life? Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God takes priority over everything. To follow him takes priority over everything, even the things that we hold most dear. Even, he says, your family. Perhaps that's another thing we need to clarify this morning, because today we talk a lot about families. But our families today aren't nearly as important as they were during Jesus' time. In Jesus' day, families were everything. They were the primary source of one's identity. Your family determined everything about you. Your family determined where you were going to live. You just didn't live anywhere. Most people didn't live too far apart from the house of their father. Your family determined where you was going to live. Your family determined what your profession was going to be. None of this, I got to find myself. You were going to be what your father was. If your father was a carpenter, guess what you were going to be? Chances are you would be a carpenter too. Your family determined who you were going to marry. None of this romantic, finding my soulmate kind of stuff. You got married to whoever your father or your family chose for you to marry. Your family determined what it is you would believe. Just didn't believe anything on your own, but your family made all of those determinations. To do anything other than what your family desired was to bring shame upon your family, and so people didn't do that. They didn't do that kind of thing often. And so when people made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they were making a decision that could put their whole life at risk. Some people still live that way today. I remember several years ago here in Philadelphia, there was a family from Pakistan who still very much believed that the family should determine everything about the life of their children. And they had already assigned someone to marry their daughter, but their daughter didn't want any part of it. And so she refused and ran away and married someone else. And the father and the son was so enraged that she made a choice other than what they had chose, that they had her killed. And that's the way it could be too, if you did anything other than what your family wished for you in Jesus' day. And so Jesus says, I want you to think about the cost. If you're going to be one of my disciples, understand that this could cost you everything. Of course, today we are much more individualistic. Today we can do pretty much whatever we want to do. We can live wherever we want to live. We can marry whoever we want to marry. We can choose whatever profession we want to choose. We can believe just about anything we want to believe. And we probably are not going to get a whole lot of static from our families. Our families may not agree with some of the choices that we make, but they usually don't have any power to do anything about it. But Jesus tells us this morning that there is still a cost. Consider the cost, he says. There's a cost if you're going to follow me. What are the costs? Sometimes I fear that the church today has been a little too easy with the good news of the gospel, a little too willing to give it out at discount rates. Sometimes we don't want to remind people of that there is a cost. I know many of us pastors are like that recruiter that I was talking about earlier. Whenever people come into the church, we're so glad that people are coming in. We grab them by the hands and again, how are you? We're glad that you're here. Let me tell you about all the wonderful things that we have for you, all the wonderful programs, all the wonderful ways that we the church, can meet your needs. One of the things I like to do is go out and look at church signs, and they are often quite revealing. We are a friendly church. We are a welcoming church. We are an all-inclusive church. We are a church where you can come and have your needs met. We are a church. We have a contemporary worship. We have a jazz vespers. We have a place for your children. We have all these wonderful things, all the wonderful ways you can come and get your needs met. But no one says that there's a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. Why doesn't anyone talk about the cost? Why are we afraid to mention that if we plan to follow Jesus, there's a cost? What might the cost be? Perhaps one of the things that we might have to renounce if we make a decision for Jesus is that we might have to renounce the very individualism that I referenced earlier. That belief that we can do anything we want to do. I can do anything I want to do. I can have Jesus and I can have my life too. I heard a wonderful little parable several days ago. It was told about a boat, a cruise ship, multi-level cruise ship that was going out to sea, and one of the passengers on the very bottom of the cruise ship decided he was going to make a hole in his cabin. And so he made a hole in the cabin and water began to come through, and all the rest of the passengers ran down and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm making a hole." "You can't do that." He said, "I can do anything I want. This is my cabin. I paid for it. I can do anything I want." And so the whole boat sank. And that's the way we are sometimes. We believe that we can do anything we want. But if we're going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a cost. And one of the costs might be, indeed is, that we have to give up some of the things that we believe we might have a right to do. There's a cost, says Jesus. Consider the cost. Maybe one of the things that we have to renounce is that sense of privilege, or that expectation of comfort that we Americans so easily carry with us. I remember in seminary talking to a pastor in Atlanta, and he was telling us, our class, that one of his parishioners came up to him one day and said, "Pastor, you know, I would like to continue to be a member of this church, but, you know, the neighborhood surrounding the church has gotten bad over the last several years, and my kids are growing up, and the church really doesn't have a whole lot of programming, so I'm going to go somewhere just a little bit nicer, where there's a nicer neighborhood that offers just a little bit more for my kids." And the pastor said, he told him, "If you're looking for an opportunity to serve God, what better environment to serve the Lord, to bring the grace and the mercy and the love of God to bear than in the midst of this neighborhood? What wonderful pedagogical opportunity it is for your children to learn what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ than being active in this very neighborhood." But of course, the man didn't consider that, because no one told him that there's a cost. There might be a cost to following Jesus. Maybe one of the things we should renounce and give up are those powerful categories of identity that come to give our lives so much meaning. I'll leave it to you to think about what those identities might be. But Jesus says there's a cost. If you're going to be one of his followers, it's going to cost you something. Jesus tells his followers this because he is going somewhere. He is on his way to Jerusalem. On his way to the cross, and Jesus has already given up a whole lot. You know, he's given up his family. His family thinks he's crazy. His family thinks he's got a demon. He doesn't have any possessions. He says, you know, birds have nests, foxes have holes. I have absolutely nothing. And he knows that he has a date with a cross in Jerusalem. And so he tells his followers that if you are going to follow me, here's what you have to look forward to. There's a cross for your back too. Our clerk of session a couple of weeks ago took our cross here on the table, took it out of the sanctuary to have it polished up, and he brought it back just the other day so that it stands here before you gleaming. But we're reminded of what our faith is all about. Our faith is primarily not about what God can do for us. It's not about having our individual needs met. It's not about coming to church with a consumer kind of mentality. We come here not just because we expect a blessing for ourselves, but we come here to remember who we are. We are people of the way, people of the Lord Jesus Christ, people who have been invited to walk the way of the cross. We're reminded the kingdom and cross go together. You can't have the kingdom without the cross. The cross is the way to the kingdom. And the kingdom is characterized by the cross, the way of self-giving love. That's what we are all about, the way of Jesus, the way of sacrificial self-giving love. And Jesus says, that's the way to be my disciple. That's what I want from each and every one of you. I want you to walk the way of self-giving love. That's the cost. That's the cost of being one of my disciples. Occasionally I listen to Christian radio, and I like some of the music, but I can only stand it in, you know, sections, because oftentimes it sounds so self-involved. All about what God can do for us. Very rarely does it remind us that there's a cost. I was reading about an interesting lady not long ago. Her name is Annalena Tonali. She was born in Italy in 1943 in the midst of the war. And she had desires to be a lawyer when she came of age. And indeed, that's what she was trained for, to be a lawyer. But then as a young woman in her mid-20s, she heard this call deep down inside of her to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she put all of that aside, that desire to be a lawyer that could have afforded her a nice, you know, middle class, respectable life. And she went to Kenya to teach school to Somalian refugees, many of them who were Muslim, living in that section of Kenya. And she discovered soon after she got there that many of her students, as well as their parents, were suffering from tuberculosis. And so she went back to Europe, and she went through more training, this time medical training, and she returned to Africa, where she would spend the next 30 years bringing the love and grace and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ as a humanitarian aid worker in Somalia. She helped to build a hospital treating tuberculosis. She helped to found clinics out in villages where she helped to restore the sight of over 4,000 people. She opened a school for the deaf and the handicapped and orphaned. And Somalians everywhere would come to her clinics to be treated and healed. She even opened a clinic to treat those who were suffering from HIV and AIDS that was seen as something that people were too ashamed to come out for, could be killed to come out and be recognized as someone who suffered from that. But she welcomed all. The people there loved her, though she had her enemies. She was an advocate for women, especially advocating against female genital mutilation. She made some powerful enemies for that, but she had a lot of friends too, and she went about doing some wonderful work. Her life had a significant impact on the people she worked with. She wrote, "You know, I left Italy determined to proclaim the gospel with my life. And this is what motivates me deep down, along with an invincible passion for the suffering and the downtrodden, over and above questions of race and culture and creed." Sadly, all of her wonderful work was cut short in October of 2003 when she was shot by a local man who had been harassing her for a job driving a hospital vehicle. Thousands of grateful Somalis mourned her passing, and she left a powerful witness. But she reminds us that to be a follower of Jesus is not about winning arguments. It's not about gaining political power. It's not about winning moral crusades. It's not about being against people of other religious faiths. It's not about having our particular needs met, but it's about bringing the love and the healing of Jesus Christ to bear in the midst of a broken world. And that's what Jesus reminds all of us. He says, "Follow me. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me as I show you into the kingdom." But he tells us there's a cost. I want you to consider the cost. There's a cost if you're going to be one of my disciples. But it's nothing like the glorious reward that remains for all of God's people, for those who choose the path of life, eternal life. Follow me. Follow me into the kingdom, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have asked us to be one of your disciples, but how we often try to do that on the cheap. We believe we can have our cake and eat it too, and we've been encouraged by a consumer society to pick and to choose, as if following you is like a fashion, a shirt that we should wear, or shoes that we might buy, something that we might be try on to see if it fits, and if it doesn't, we can toss it out. But you reminded us that to be one of your followers, to be one of your disciples, is to walk in the very way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself walked, the way of self-giving love, the way of mercy and love and compassion and justice, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself walked. Help us, Lord, to get out of ourselves. Help us to be filled with a passion for your kingdom. Help us to recognize the way that brings us eternal life. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.